Well, good morning again. If you haven't yet, I'm just going to encourage you to return to your seats. You can feel free to visit after the service, too. And I just want to start by saying it's so great to have the older kids here with us today. Now, with that said, the elementary age kids should have picked up a whiteboard and also a bag with some treats, some supplies in it. I'm going to be asking them to help me a little bit throughout the sermon using some of that stuff. Every time there's a fifth Sunday, we include the older elementary and the youth in here as well. So I'm going to ask them to help me a little bit this morning. So with that said, mom, dad, caregiver, whoever, if your kids didn't get those supplies, go to the back now, grab them as I pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time that we have to carve out to just very intently focus on you and what you have for us. But with that said, Lord, every moment is a moment that we can do that, and we should do that. And we should be always very present for you as you are always very present for us. So, Lord, help us to grow in these next few moments. Help us to hear from you. And, Lord, help us to be changed because of the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's in his name I pray. Amen. All right, so I want to begin by asking you, by a show of hands, okay, how many people in here have ever gone on a hike with their family? Anybody? Okay, a lot of hands. Most of us, hands down. Question two is this. How many of you have gone on a hike with your family and a group of friends? Let's see that. Okay, still quite a bit of us, a few less, hands down. Now, with that said, kids, you can draw this, okay? I want you to draw on that whiteboard a picture of a hike that you went on, or if you haven't gone on a hike, I want you to draw of what you'd think that might look like, okay? Maybe a trail, some trees, the sky. So take a minute to draw your hike experience or what you might think that would look like, and we'll come back to that in a second. While you do that, though, I want to let you know that growing up, Jesus went on hikes too. Maybe more like road trips, but they were hikes or they were trips on foot or on the back of a donkey or the back of a camel, because each year he and his family and their friends, and in fact, most of the community, they would travel to a big party in a huge city called Jerusalem where they would celebrate the Feast of the Passover. And this festival was the first festival that God commanded his people to celebrate. And yes, you heard me right, okay? God commanded his people to travel to a festival, to travel to party. In fact, in total, God told his people, the Jews, to go on three of these hikes, this road trip to Jerusalem throughout the year, and they called them pilgrimages, these trips to these festivals. Now, with that, kids, show me your whiteboards. Let me see some of your hikes. Oh, nice trail. I see some trees over here. Good, good, good. Very, very cool. You can put them down. We'll get back to those in a second. But for Jesus growing up, he and his family and all of his friends from school, okay, their whole community would travel together to, again, these festival parties. And for him, since he grew up in Nazareth, it would mean for him and his family and those from Nazareth, it would mean like a 90-mile trip to Jerusalem. It would be about a 4-day trip, in other words. With that said, has anybody in here ever hiked for 4 days? Oh, I see one back there. I knew that hand would go up. If you ever want to know how to have endurance, go see Mr. Kaiser in the back. And so they would get to Jerusalem, okay? They'd make this 90-mile trip, this 4-day trip. They would get there, and for this Passover feast especially, they would then celebrate, and they would then remember Israel's freedom, their freedom specifically from slavery in Egypt. Now, with that said, you might remember the story of Moses, the parting of the Red Sea, after God had sent the 10 plagues on the Egyptians. And if you remember, the final plague was the plague of death. But God told the Jewish people to put a sign on the doorposts of their homes indicating that they worshiped God and that they belonged to God so that this plague of death would pass over they and their families. And this all happened, mind you, some 1,400 years before Jesus was even born. But they took this hike every year to remember this blessing, this provision from God. So the Passover festival or this party, it celebrates a life of freedom, which I'd say is something worth having a party for, right? A life of freedom. Now, when you go on a hike, it's good to have some water. It's good to have a snack. And so to prepare you kids for the hike that we're going to take through Scripture today, in your bag of goodies, there's a little water bottle, okay? There's a snack. And there's also a fun toy in there, okay, that you can play with during the service. And then we're going to do something with this a little bit later at the end of the message. But with that, let's go, okay? Let's get into the Scripture. Now, today what we're doing is we're going to read the story about when Jesus was 12 years old and on this hike to Jerusalem. And what we find is that something in this story went seemingly terribly wrong. Let's look at it. We're going to read it. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 41, but I'm also going to need some help from all of you, okay? Not just the kids, but kids and adults alike. What I need you to do is I want you to help me with some sound effects today, okay? And they're going to be indicated on the screen, and the first one that we're going to use is a gasp, okay? Like this. Okay? In fact, let's do that together. Let's practice it together. All right? On the count of three, can you give me like your best gasp? One, two, three. And when you do it, you know, maybe feel free to put your hands on your cheeks like the emojis or whatever. All right. Now, that's not the only sound effect I'm going to need for some help today in this first part of our reading. I'm also going to need a suspense sounding effect, okay? And I was thinking of this one that we hear in a lot of movies. Maybe you've heard it. It's the one that goes, dun, dun, dun. You heard that one? All right, let's practice that one together. Ready? Count of three. Give me your best dun, dun, dun. One, two, three. Dun, dun, dun. Very nice, JP. You got some lungs over there. All right, here we go. I'm going to read, and when we get there, when we get to the gasp, when we get to the duh, 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 help me out, okay? All loud and proud, and not just the kids. I want to hear all of you, all right? So Luke 2, verse 41 to 45. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. They lost Jesus. That's not a good thing, right? Jesus is missing. Let's keep reading. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. Dun, dun, dun. That's the suspense moment, right? What's going to happen next? Your sound effects, thank you, by the way. It made the story really come alive, didn't it? Now, parents, with that, let me ask you a question. Have you ever lost track of your kid for even just a few minutes? It's terrifying, isn't it? It happened with my own son, you know, a few times, and it was scary. But at least I, and likely not you, maybe, hopefully, we didn't pull a Home Alone moment, right? Like Mary and Joseph did here, completely leaving town without their son, right? Which leads me to ask this. How in the world did this happen to Mary and Joseph? Well, let's remember for a second, they were traveling in a large caravan of people that they knew well and people that they trusted. And compared to parenting today, parenting then was much more of a collective effort, more of a community effort. And I don't know about you, but But when we've traveled with relatives or friends, all the kids, they tend to usually want to ride in the same car together, right? Or even when we've hiked with friends, the kids, they, at least early on, they tend to lead the pack together. They scurry ahead leading the pack. So maybe, okay, maybe Mary and Joseph thought, well, you know, Jesus, he's like 12 now, right? He's old enough to hang out with some others in this caravan. And also, let's not forget that we know elsewhere in Scripture that Mary and Joseph, they had a number of other children, right? Younger than Jesus. So they probably had their hands full. But regardless, can you just imagine, right, the fear? Can you imagine the anxiety that Mary and Joseph felt as soon as they realized that Jesus wasn't with them and he wasn't with anybody in their group? And on top of that, think about this. He was alone in not Springville, okay? He was alone in a huge city. I mean, think about that likely torturous day-long journey back to Jerusalem. Think about the tension. Think about the stress that they likely felt as they headed back, wondering where he was. And then to make matters even worse, when they finally get back to Jerusalem, they didn't even find Jesus right away, right? That's what we read. Where could he be? That's what they were likely worrying. So with that, let's now pick up our story in verse 46. And before we read that, I have a few more sound effects for us. Is that okay? Yes. Thank you. The first one is, whew. Can you do that? When you do that, wipe your brow. Whew. All right, good, good. And then once again, in this set of passages, we're going to see the gasp again. So remember that one, okay? Be ready with that one. And then lastly, I like this one. We're going to have this one. Ooh. What's that sound like? That sounds like when you're in trouble with mom or dad, right? Or something like that. So let's practice that one together and maybe wave your finger. Ready? Ooh. Jesus, you in trouble, right? You're in trouble. Ready? On the, we're not going to do that again on the count of three, but all right. Let's read it now, and you're going to see these words. Help me out again, loud and proud, 2:46 to 48. After 3 days, that's a long time to be looking for Jesus, isn't it? After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Whew. We found him, right? Wow, what a relief. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. They were astonished. His mother said to him, son, son. I wonder if she uses Jesus' middle name here. I don't know. My mom's mad. She says Keith James, you know. Not that Jesus had a middle name. Anyways. His mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Ooh. Jesus sounds like he might be in a little trouble with mom, right? Now think about it. Mary is probably trying to keep it all together, especially in front of all the rabbis, all the religious elite that are present. I mean, I would just imagine that all at the same time, she wanted to like harshly scold and correct Jesus and hug him and cry with relief all at the same time. But check this out. Check out Jesus' response to her. And keep in mind, okay, he's 12, okay? Let's check out his response. He's 12. It says this, why were you searching for me? Jesus asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and with favor with God and man. Now, real quick, what a perplexing answer Jesus gives to his parents. I mean, it's been like several days since he has seen them, and yet he doesn't understand that they are even looking for him or why they would be. Because in his mind, what? He was exactly where he was supposed to be, which is in his father's house. And not Joseph's house, because remember, Jesus is not Joseph's biological child, though Joseph raised Jesus as his own. But Jesus is referring to who, church? God. He's referring to his Father, his heavenly Father's house. And his heavenly Father's house, God's house in Jesus' time, was the temple. For that was where people went to learn about God, right? And to worship God. And what's even more confusing or interesting, I guess you could say, is that this story is really all that we know about Jesus' childhood. And only this gospel, only the gospel of Luke includes it. So we go, okay, from Jesus as an infant in our Bible to this story when he's 12. And from there, the Bible jumps to Jesus' baptism when he's like 30 years old. Now, I say all that to say this. This story, okay, it must be pretty important if the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to record it for us. It's the only one where Jesus is of this age, in this age range. So we have to ask ourselves, what does this tell us about Jesus? Well, first, kids, I think it's important, okay? I think it's important for you to just know that Jesus was once a kid. He was once a kid. I mean, you might picture him as only a baby around Christmas time, or maybe only as a full-grown man around Easter time. But have you ever pictured him as a kid? Well, he was one. He was one. In fact, on your whiteboard, kids, I want you to draw what you think Jesus may have liked to do as a kid. Knowing this, okay, however old you are as a kid, Jesus was also once your age, okay? So he knows. You know what that means? He knows what it's like to be a kid, meaning that he knows how hard it can be sometimes. He knows how fun it can be sometimes. He also knows how scary it can be sometimes. So draw what you think he might have liked to do as a kid. Now, what we also see in this passage is that Jesus is becoming more independent. He's becoming more independent, and he is developing an awareness of what his mission in this world is. So in some ways, he's just like any other 12-year-old, though in most ways, he's extraordinary. Just like, mind you, you can be with him in your life. But for him, while he was a totally ordinary 12-year-old, a total ordinary Jewish boy being at the temple with his teachers, he's also extraordinary in that everyone who heard him was what? Did you catch it in what we read? Amazed. They were amazed at his understanding of the scriptures. They were amazed with his answers to the questions regarding the scriptures. Now, what that tells us about Jesus is that he was wise. Jesus was wise. Wise beyond his years. And while it's ordinary for 12-year-olds to know more than their parents about certain things, like, for example, how many of you kids in here, you likely know more than me about the latest technology. So while knowing that kids, you know some things more about things than we do is ordinary, Jesus is extraordinary in this account, okay? As he knew more about God's will for his life than his mom even did. Think about it. She was confused, but he knew exactly why he was there. So Jesus was once a kid, and Jesus was wise, okay? But what we also see about Jesus here is that he was humble. He was humble. I mean, his mother, Mary, had asked, "Why did you do this to us," right? To which Jesus just gently reminds his mother of who his heavenly Father is and that his obedience to him, to God, is his first priority. We can say he's humble because he simply says, "Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house?" Such a humble yet an honest answer from Jesus. And I was thinking about this. If I were Jesus, I would have been really tempted to say, "Excuse me, Mom, but why did you do this to me? You left me here all alone, remember? The caravan forgot me. You forgot me. But again, instead, he just gently reminds his mom of his mission. And this comment is so astonishing to his mom that she seems to have no reply. For we read that she had to contemplate it. Well, what do I mean? Well, the Bible says that she what? She treasured all of these things in her heart. So she had to contemplate it. Now, some families today, you know, keep notebooks of the striking things that their kids do or the kids say. But Mary kept her notebook right here in her heart. And his response seems to have gone straight to her heart and through her heart. For Mary knew that Jesus was the Son of God. But she just still didn't fully understand what that all meant. So she had to treasure these things in her heart. And then lastly, while it's ordinary for a 12-year-old to want some space from their parents, it is extraordinary that Jesus, first of all, survived by himself for likely several days in Jerusalem, only to be found in the temple, in his father's house, and going about his father's business, right? So the last thing that we see about Jesus here that we're going to cover today is that Jesus was obedient. He was obedient. Obedient to his heavenly father by being in his house, but obedient as well to his earthly parents. Because as we read, he went with them, and he was obedient to them on the heels of this scene. And so in that, he also honored his father, his earthly father, and his mother. So with that, kids, show me your whiteboards. I know some of you have been lifting them up. What are some things that you think Jesus liked to do? What do you got, Derek? What is it? Okay. Gotcha. What do you got? What's that a picture of? In a church? Okay, in the temple, kind of? Cool, cool, cool. Now, with all that we've covered, we have to ask ourselves something. You can put those down. I'm sorry I didn't get to all of you. There's too many of you to get to all the stories, but I'd love to hear them later. We have to ask ourselves, what does this mean, right? What does this mean for us, all that we've covered today? What can we learn? What can we, like, take away? Well, perhaps, church, it wasn't Jesus who went his own way and left his family and his friends, but the other way around, okay? They left him. Now, with that said, have you ever entered a particular season in your life, or maybe you got so highly involved in a new endeavor, in a new relationship, or maybe you've taken advantage of a new opportunity, only to look around at some point feeling like Jesus isn't with you anymore? Like, Jesus isn't with me anymore. But maybe that's just not the truth, okay? Maybe you, or maybe I, simply got too busy. Maybe you or I got too busy with the things of life, and we stopped pursuing him through things like spiritual practices, you know, like reading our Bible and praying or even coming to church. And in that, you know, maybe you or I, maybe us, instead of having and staying on the straight path that he has for us on this road trip called life, maybe you or I, maybe we've let distraction, maybe we've let sin take us away from him and toward a different way. In fact, kids, can you think of a time where you, like, got off the straight path, you went in a different way because of sin, because of distraction? If you can think of that, me too, okay? I've been there. But we can always return. We can always return. We can always follow his good and straight path for us. And so can you, adults. I'm just not just talking to the kids. But kids, take this snake fidget, okay? Bend it in different ways to represent the times that maybe you've gotten off the path. And this could all happen for us, you know, when other people on the journey of life, when they've maybe even led us astray. Or it could happen when we simply take Jesus too much for granted, right? And you know what else? We must not assume that he accompanies us as we get off and on our own way and astray, following our own plans. But here's the good news. I have really good news for us today. Whatever the case may be, Jesus has never completely left you. He's never completely left you. Because while our human nature tends to be one where we tend to wander off the path, his path, the path that he has for us, while that is true, I got to tell you what is also true and even more powerful than that is that the grace of God says that he, God, is also wanting us to find our way home, to find our way back to him through Jesus. And I say that, back to God through Jesus, I say it intentionally because he himself said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, through Jesus. And there's so many other thoughts out there today. But God's grace says, come back home to me through Jesus and a relationship with Jesus. That's good news, church. We can always come back. So when we sense a lack of his presence, we must be prepared, you see, to turn back. We must be prepared to pursue him once again, to pursue him once again in prayer, to pursue him once again through the word, to pursue him once again through things like the sacrament of the Lord's Supper or church attendance, not giving up until we find him again and we get back on his path. Now, with that, kids, I want to ask you to straighten out your fidget thing into a straight line just to represent how you can be forgiven. And we all can be forgiven by Jesus. And we can all get back on the straight path once again, which is what we're called to do. Okay, that's what we're called to do. Because as we read, Jesus grew, didn't he? That's what the scripture said. He grew in wisdom and he grew in stature amongst God and man. And so must we, no matter our age. We are called to grow. We are called to grow in our faith. And so as we grow in our spiritual lives, we should find that the times that we wander off, that those times become fewer and fewer. And the time between them becomes greater. That should be happening in our lives. And also that our time between sin and seeking forgiveness and repentance, moving once again along the straight and narrow path that leads to life, that should become and grow shorter for us as we confess and we ask forgiveness of our Lord and we repent and we get back on the path. That timeline should shrink as we grow in our faith. Now, with all that said, I want to invite the worship team to come forward. And I want us just to remember today that, you know, sometimes my life gets really jacked up, really bent. It does. But we can straighten that out through the Lord's help. He wants to empower us to do that. And we just have to confess that to him, that sometimes we go our own way. We leave him behind because of distractions or new opportunities that seem really good, but we sacrifice the best. So let's pray. And let's just confess that to our Lord. Let's seek his forgiveness and his reconciliation with us. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, just admitting that oftentimes we go our own way. We have that human tendency to wander off the path that you have for us. And that can happen in a number of ways when we think, well, I can strengthen my relationship with Jesus later. And we take him for granted. Or, you know, we get involved with somebody else that just takes us down a wrong path. Or we get distracted by the new and the shiny thing that seems really good. But in that, we sacrifice you and our relationship with you. And Lord, we're just here today to say we're sorry for those times, to admit those times to you. And if someone in here is just thinking of a specific thing that they just keep running to and it's off your path, Lord, would you just minister to them? Would you let them know that your grace says, come back home? I will help you. I'll give you the power. And I forgive you, says the Lord. Confess it. Repent of it. Start walking with me again, says the Lord. That is the grace of God. So seek it, receive it, and move forward. Let's help us to do that today, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand as we worship through music.